Well, good morning again. It's hard to believe, but we're actually coming to the end of our study in the book of, the chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it's been a wonderful journey. I trust you've enjoyed it as much as I have prepared it and in presenting it as well. Let's pray as we begin our service together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this incredible picture we have of people of faith. We thank you for all that we have learned from them. And we do pray, Lord, that you would continue to build our faith through all the circumstances we face. For your glory, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our study in the chapter so far, we've been trying to ask this kind of one question: what kind of faith does God accept? A long time back, 5 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, in the first sermon in this chapter, we looked at the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus. And then over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a number of examples of faith and why faith is needed to please God. We've tried to describe what faith in the superiority of Jesus looks like, because we're going to answer a question in our sermon today. As we looked at what faith looks like, we in our first sermon in this part, we looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah and the faith that they had. Abel had a sacrificing faith, taught us about sacrifice. Enoch taught us about obedience. Noah taught us about prophesying about Jesus. In the second of those, we looked at a number of women who displayed tremendous faith, particularly faith of Sarah. Sarah had a miracle-defining faith. Jochebed, who had a faith that protected. Rahab had a faith that trusted in the God of the Israelites. And then a group of women who had faith. Faith in the resurrection, much greater faith than the men ever had, because in a wonderful way they formed a vital and a pivotal role in the story of the resurrection. In the third of those series, as we were looking at examples of faith, we looked at the faith of Abraham. We called him the father of faith because in many ways he modeled what faith was all about, and we learned so much about faith from them. And a week before that, we looked at the patriarchs. First of all, the patriarchs taught us about the fact that God keeps his promises. We looked at Moses, who showed us what sacrificial faith was all about, sacrificing his own life to serve the Israelites, just as Jesus gave us the ultimate example of sacrificing faith. And the Israelites' faith pointed to Christ. They were under the blood. They were baptized to the water. The power of the enemy fell down as they walked around the walls of Jericho, and Jesus offers us that same faith by protecting us by his blood, re-baptized through water, and the enemy has been finally destroyed. And then we ended last week just reminding ourselves that as we look at the list of the others in the book of Hebrews, friends, our names could be there too, because these were just ordinary people. They faced opposition, but we saw, and what we need to remember is that while they were ordinary people, they had an extraordinary God. And that's really what faith is all about. Faith isn't in our abilities or in our capacities. It's in the capacity of the God who in whom we put our faith. So today, as we reach the end of this study, as we looked at the significance of faith in the superiority of Jesus, as we described what faith in the superiority of Jesus looks like, today we want to answer this question: why faith in the superiority of Jesus is commended. So what do I mean by being commended? Well, the word commended has two different meanings. First one is to be formally praised or officially recognized. So when a military person excels in the battle, they are commended for an award. But we can also be commended in the sense of being presented as being suitable for approval. So when we're recommending somebody from one organization to another organization, we commend them to that organization. We say this is a good person. And friends, this is how we are commended. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own capacities that we are commended, but in what Christ has done for us. So why faith in the superiority is commended? Because, friends, without putting our trust in who Jesus is, we can't be commended. If we're only trusting in our own strength and our own abilities, we'll never be commended because our abilities are weak. So both of these meanings are implied in what this book is teaching us. So, first of all, they were commended and we are commended for their assurance of belief. Verse 1 reminds us, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Friends, faith isn't a blind leap. There are those who feel that a life lived by faith is a life of a fool. They speculate that faith is nothing more than a leap in the dark. However, friends, faith is much more than just walking around in blind, wanting for providence to bump into you. Faith is your response to the promises of God in your life. God says, I'll lead you. We'll say, okay, God, I'll follow. God says, I'll feed you. We say, okay, Lord, we'll eat. God says, I'll meet your every need. Faith says, thank you, Lord, it's done. See, faith, friends, isn't a leap into the dark. It's based on the firmest of foundations that we possibly could have, the very word of God itself. Do you know, even the atheists believe by faith. You see, to believe there is no God takes as much faith as those of us who believe that God exists. The amount of money being put into research to try and understand the origin of the universe is literally and figuratively astronomical. Scientists are going to the ends of the creation or ends of this universe to try and discover the spark that started it all off. But don't forget, friends, whatever scientists say about the beginning of life is simply a theory, just like they say the stories in the Bible are a theory. You see, friends, the atheists live by faith too. They're putting their faith in a theory that hasn't been proved yet. Atheists, I believe, are simply trying to get rid of God because they don't want to be accountable to him. That's the difference between those of us who have faith in God and those who don't. And friends, we will be commended for our assurance of belief in God. Those that don't trust God, well, good luck to them. And I mean luck. Because friends, that's what they're trusting in is luck. Friends, we're not trusting in luck. We are commended because we are sure of what we believe in. Secondly, they are commended as being righteous. says Abel offered God a better sacrifice as Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And there are some others mentioned in this chapter 2 as being righteous. The Bible's got a lot to say about being righteous, friends. This is vital. If you're not righteous, listen to some of the verses. Psalm 37, verse 28. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, and the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. Psalm 92 says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Proverbs 10, verse 7 says, the memory of the righteous will be blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. And further on in the same chapter 10, verse 27 to 30, it says, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hope of the wicked comes to nothing. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not remain in the land. Friends, Jesus says in Matthew 13, he says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, we read, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is anyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, it says, no one is justified before God, because it says the righteous will live by faith. Friends, the Bible is very clear. Without righteousness, you will not see God. Romans 3 verses 10 to 12 says this, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. But friends, with righteousness is available. Because righteousness is available through the gospel. Romans 1 verse 17 says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Friends, if you haven't put your faith and trust in God, if you haven't trusted Him, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot be righteous. You may be living the most holy life, the most upright life. You may be obeying the law in 99.9% of the time, friends, but the reality is, as we are told in Romans, you never obeyed 100%. The only hope, friends, is to put your faith and trust in God. And when you do that, you will be commended as being righteous. Thirdly, they were commended as pleasing God. Now, I don't know about you, but I know as a child, most children have a desire to please their parents. I know when they get a little bit older, it's not always like that, but when they're younger, it is. And friends, we too. Generally, humanity wants to please God. They don't always do it in the right way, but they do. So it tells us, thirdly, they were commended as pleasing God. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so they did not experience God. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What a great thing to have been said about you. Listen to what it says. Enoch pleased God, friends. Why? Because he walked with God. It says for 300 years, friends, Enoch walked with God. What does it mean he walked with God? It means he conducted his life in such a way that it was in tune with God. Not only did he walk with God, but he confronted evil. In the book of Jude, in the New Testament, it says, Jude says, Enoch, the seventh from Abraham, prophesied about these men. He said, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly and all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Friend, Enoch pleased God because he walked with him and he spoke out for him. Moses pleased God. How did Moses please God? Well, friends, Moses sought God's glory. In Exodus 33, verses 13 to 17, we read, if you are pleased with me, Moses speaking says, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people and from all the other peoples on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Friends, Moses pleased God because Moses sought the presence and the glory of God wherever he went. The Bible tells us David pleased God. David pleased God. How did he please God? Friend, he pleased God because his heart belonged to him. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29. David says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you. David pleased God. But friends, of all those that walk the face of this earth, God only said of one on more than one occasion that he pleased him. At the baptism of Jesus, God says this, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then later on, during the life of Jesus, at his resurrection, it says this, while they were still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Friends, what great joy. They were commended as pleasing God. Friends, that's what faith does. When we live a life of faith, we have the capacity to bring joy to the heart of God. But when we live life for ourselves, friends, God can never be pleased with that. It's when we are surrendered to Him, when we seek His glory, when we walk with Him, when we obey Him, when we travel in His presence, friends, that God is pleased and we're commended to Him. Finally, they were commended to receive a greater inheritance. The last two verses of chapter 11 says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Friends, that's the great joy of this. They had to wait for us to come before they joined us. There are many wonderful joys in knowing Jesus this side of eternity, friends, but none can compare or surpass what awaits us in eternity. Why? Well, we'll be in the presence of God, friends. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Friends, there'll be no more pain. Listen to what it says in verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There'll be no more decay, no more maintenance, friends. Oh, hallelujah. No more washing dishes. I learned about that. But friends, listen to what it says, verse. Friends, the old order has passed away. There's no more load shedding. Listen to what it says, verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And friends, there'll be no more separation of those who love Him. It says nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, what great joy. We are commended to receive a greater inheritance. We're not talking about Mickey Mouse things like we get here. Friends, we receive great blessings on earth, but nothing will compare to what we will receive in eternity. But while we're on earth, what does faith do for us? With this I close. Friends, faith calms our fears. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by faith, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace which transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ. Friends, how else can we be helped on earth? By faith. Well, friends, faith cushions our falls. We are not immune from sin and temptation, friends, while we're still on earth. And when and if we do fall, we have a promise, friends. It is a promise for the child of God who may fall. We can fall, but we never fail. Jesus said, I have given them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Friends, when you're in the hands of Jesus, while you may fail, while the devil may tempt you, it's not forever. Because, friends, Jesus is hanging on to you. And, friends, one thing faith does, it confirms our future. How do we know? We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. But we know that all of our tomorrows, friends, are in the hands of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Friends, faith calms our fears. Faith cushions our falls. And faith confirms our future. We're commended, friends. We're commended by having faith. Our faith makes us acceptable to God through what Jesus has done for us. Have you put your faith in Christ? He's the only one, friends, who can ensure that you enter eternity. It's only through faith in him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've made it possible for us to please you. You've made it possible for us to have a righteousness. You've made it possible for us to have a future, Lord. You've made it possible for us, Lord, to be acceptable to you. Help us grow our faith in you so that, Lord, it may be strong and others may respond to you when they see what we have. We pray that for your glory. Amen. Well, continue building in your faith, friends. May the Lord use you and bless you in this week. Amen.